much. We decided to call you to get your annual report, but also remember last time you wanted to have more time to talk about your position as an MEP. Just to put us in the picture, I know it might not be the ideal time, but in our legacy report, it's something that we could reflect to be taken forward by the incoming committee during the sixth parliament. It may be the same members, it may be different members, but the committee will remain. So we thought it's important that we give you this opportunity, but also ourselves, to understand why are you not doing what you're supposed to do. For us, you are a very important entity. If really you are a national development agency, why are we having these challenges? These small pockets of development, yet you are a government entity. Why are we not recognizing an issue for us? The budget itself, and maybe the position, the location where you are might be an issue, we don't know. But it's more important that in our leaders' report we have something to say to be taken forward by Parliament. I don't know, other members, in terms of apologies, I got an apology from the Minister's office. The Minister will not be part of us. He will not be joining us, he's only flying in later because of other engagements. But I also received apologies from Honorable Stock and Honorable Kaul. Honorable Zwane will join us late, she indicated, and Honorable Mpambo Kubwane is requesting to leave by 11:45 if we're not done. But I hope that will be done by then, because it's only NTA, it's not combined with the department. CEO, I will hand over to you, and maybe I'll give the department to comment after you, then allow me Mr. Kumbarej on one report. It's not something new, you know by now, that you're telling us what you have achieved based on what you said you were going to do. Nothing from the committee, everything is from you. You said you will do certain things with a given allocated budget, but you just want to know how far did you go, what were the challenges, and how are you intending to deal with those issues. Over to you.
Thanks, Chairperson. Good morning, and compliments of the New Year. Honorable members, good morning, compliments and blessings of the New Year. I'm with my team here, those who are critical in terms of the high-level strategic matters like your APP and your annual report. We thank this opportunity. We thought we were forgotten because we're missing the beautiful faces, and we're missing the passion that normally the committee gives us in terms of support and strategic leadership in terms of inputs that they give us. Without taking much time, Chairperson, the outline is its purpose, its audit opinion in terms of AG. Legislative mandate, performance information, report on governance, the human resources performance report, audited annual financial statement, and challenges and recommendations on how we want to turn things around. And then the purpose is to present the NDA 2017-2018 annual report, to present the audit outcome and on the annual financial statement, to detail the organizational performance of the NDA and implementation challenges experienced, to present the remedial measures to address those performance challenges, and to request the approval of the NDA 2017-2018 annual report from the committee. To start with is to give the highlight of the Auditor General's findings. We never did that last year, financial year, which was 2016-2017. But it, we thought it was prudent for us to highlight these matters because it's what keeps us on our toes in ensuring that we prioritize whatever issues that they pick up in terms of our performance and their opinion. The AG issued two opinions based on two aspects, which is annual financial statement and the performance information. And another one is on annual financial statements. The first one, which is annual financial statement, remained unchanged. So it remained as in 2016-2017 financial year with unqualified opinion with findings. The audit outcome on the AFS annual financial statement determines the overall outcome for organizations, which in this case the overall for MDA was therefore unqualified. I'm on page 3, chapter 6, in the hard copy, page 4, slide 4. Then the financial health, talk to financial health, no, the audit opinion on performance information remained unchanged as well for 2016-2017, which was adverse opinions with findings. On this adverse finding, it was an issue of misalignment between the hard core portfolio of evidence and the system within which we had thought would have achieved to align what is raw as data and what is captured in the system. So there was that disjuncture. Our system was not fast enough in terms of the uploadings from all provinces that we have. So it's one issue that was a priority for us to engage with both AG, and we have since solicited assistance in terms of their IT to interface the two, because most of the PLE gets lost in the crack where the system doesn't give the true reflection of what has been captured. Hence, we got an address on that one. The financial health remained good by the end of 2017-18 financial year. The key initiatives have been put in place to address all issues identified by the audit pair NDAs 18-19. Turnaround strategy was developed. Supply chain was the key issue where findings were glaring in terms of audit findings. So we had went further to identify the capacity of the personnel that we have at supply chain. So these are the areas which resulted in the irregular expenditures where they were drastically reduced from 2017-2018 compared to prior years. So in our trying to address those findings in terms of the key challenges, we have seen the changes we are moving on. I think it's safe to say the support that we're getting from AG in terms of advising and guiding us, we have established a good relationship so that we don't wait until the end of the financial year for them to come into the audit. So these initiatives are working. We are confirming that there has been a shift in terms of success of what we have done so far. And safe to say as well, to say we were coming from 54 findings. I think now we're at 28 in terms of addressing some of the key challenges, but the challenges are still there. When we get to the legislative mandate chapter 6, we are issued a 3A entity as mandated by Parliament in 1998 and amended in 2002. We have a primary mandate, that which of granting funds, and those funds are not merely coming from the allocation that we get, but those funds are informed by the mandate itself, where government and the public, the Republic of South Africa, is supposed to give us funds through all government departments and donations from international, which it so happened that it goes through another department, which is Treasury, so that it could contribute to the project and programs through us, which has not been complied with by the government of South Africa. So ours is to carry the program and project so that we make sure that we deal with the issues of poverty. The second one is to strengthen the institutional capacity of civil society organizations. NDA, in terms of this primary mandate, is not supposed to be doing small projects directly to the communities. We're supposed to have a strong relationship with the civil society, the sound home, like your other big civil society, where we give them grant funding for them to mentor and engage with the small, and we monitor the big ones. In literal examples, to say, we're not supposed to be giving 20,000 to a specific ECD. but we can give a civil society 1 million and link more than 20 or 30 ECDs within that ward for this civil society organization to mentor and make sure that they capacitate this other, which we have not delivered on that fully. Partially we have on the kitty that we have, but we have not fully delivered on the mandate due to the lack of the compliance by other departments to the mandate. The second one is to debating development policies. If I can refer to members to the latest review of Section 25 of the Constitution, NDA was supposed to be key in terms of facilitating those dialogues, those engaging, those debating with the communities and civil society. At NEDLAC, NDA is supposed to be the one who's leading civil society in engaging with all the stakeholders at the NEDLAC, which currently is not happening. It's happening, but in pockets of areas where we partner with municipalities, traditional leadership, and we do it at a very small scale, which doesn't have and carry much impact in terms of making sure that we contribute to the policies of the country. Undertaking research and publications aimed at providing basis for development, this one has not yet fully been complied with on the basis of capacity, because with the 200 million that we get from Treasury, which is not from Treasury, it's only from one department, which is Department of Social Development. Other departments decided to have their own areas of capacity building, which was fragmenting the core of the existence of the NDA. Then that was the summary. But there is Section 4, Chairperson, Honourable Members, of the NDA Act, which is very clear what is aimed by establishing, what was aimed by establishing the NDA. It was to act as conduit from for funding from government, of department hands. I'm saying all government departments never heeded to this very pronouncement by Parliament to say they would be giving money to NDA. Only social development has sustained NDA. Foreign governments, we can't access willy-nilly the foreign donors. They have to go through the national treasury, which currently the status is that everyone has to bid for that money instead of it being allocated to social development, to NDA. That is another challenge, which the which contradicts the act. The other one is to contribute towards building capacity, which I've alluded to, create and maintain database for civil society. As the chairperson and honourable members might know, the database of NPOs and social development is the custodian of the database. NDA was mandated to have a database of civil society organizations, which is what we have currently done. The tender is out. I think we have appointed, we're in the process of appointing the service provider who will be dealing with that creation of database, because at a click of a button, every department, every civil society, every person in South Africa should be able to know how many civil society organizations we have in the country, exactly like how we know how many NGOs do we have in the country. So only now that we had put aside in the, during the financial year of 18-19 in ensuring that we achieve that a mandate as prescribed by the Act. Moving on further, we have a model that we, I think NDA is the only organization that has this model in terms of how we deliver our services, how do we interact with communities and stuff like that. One must indicate though that it's not coordinated as how we would have wished for it to be coordinated in partnership with other government departments. But we mobilize society, civil society. We assess their capabilities, their potential, and all that, their areas of interest. While we do that, through deliberation, engagement, dialoguing, and all that, and you find that due to our limited resources, we haven't run an awareness campaign for them to say we're here to engage in dialogue with them. They are shy only unless they come to our offices, they come to know about the service that is due to them. But wherever we can reach, we make sure that we engage with them and try to establish the things that they need. Then we classify them and classify their interventions, because they are not cut across generic interventions that they might need. there are those who are interested in to being formalized, and we assist them to be formalized, whether SMME, whether cooperative, whether ECD, whatever that they wish to become, including the stock firms, including the societies, the federal societies. We do work with them as well. Then we capacitate them. There is pre, there is ongoing, there is post-capacity building. So we run with us capacity building. And our capacity building is not only limited to those who will be funded. Our capacity building, whoever wishes interventions to reach them, we are there in 9 provinces to make sure that when they request for the support, we're not encouraging the individualistic approach where one NGO or where one civil society would want us to have. We prefer to massify and maximize the participation of communities in that area. And then resource mobilization. In the kitty that we have, Jefferson, honorable members, we are allocated 200 million. And one part of the mandate, which is section 4B, talks about we can only grant if we have the leftover in terms of our budget. But National Treasury, through DSD, through National Treasury, does not give us money to grant funds. They give us money to run our operations to make sure that we reach to these communities. So granting money, we have to cut and shave there and there to get those few cents left over for us to be able to grant. Whereas if all government departments were putting a share of their now created capacity building, would have enabled us to take from that kitty to give. So whenever we come, we appear in portfolio, at portfolio committee, whenever we appear at a select committee, we appear to account about the money that is supposed to be running the operation, not the grant funding part. The grant funding part, it's what we, whenever we see that at least this we have saved for our sake from our savings, we are seen to be granted, hence so limited. But if we were getting the support from all departments, your justice, they have a unit of capacity building. Your community safety, they have a unit of capacity building. All departments. But if that kitty was put in one pot and we capacitate, we know, we screen those who deserve your health, your support and appreciation, I think it would be a game-changing kind of poverty fighting approach. So I'm saying that because we struggle when it comes to resource mobilization. Then we now link them. If it's an SMME, we have to engage with the Department of SMME to say there is a grant. Then we push on their behalf. Because when they come as they are, they're normally shut off. But when they come from this model, from a program, they have that comfort and confidence that they can account, they've been part of the program, they are trained, and we continue to monitor. Then in terms of sustainability, in terms of linkages, we link them in various opportunities where even where there are opportunities of SMME fairs, we fund those stores for them to showcase. We make sure that we link them to other government departments that have grants, which is merely, we say it's sustainable, but we haven't done impact evaluation in terms of that sustainability. If we had extra resources, that's what NDA as part of research should be doing to ensure that we are making a dent in fighting poverty. Moving on, Chairperson, on the organizational structure, it's safe to say we acknowledge that NDA is labor intensive, but it being labor intensive, this structure, it's a living structure in terms of we have a minister which is our shareholder, we have an NDA board, we have a CEO, then we have internal audit which is partly independent. I'm saying partly independent because when you look at the size of NDA, an internal audit should not be a permanent structure. That's your own view. It's a small entity with a small budget. Whatever that needs to be audited can be consulted 4 times or 2 times a year, which will save organization huge amount of money. Hence, I'm saying it's a live structure, which when we go forward, we need to take a step back and reflect. And then we have company secretaries. We look at company secretaries. NDA does not have a executive company secretary, an executive board, so to speak, to warrant it to have a permanent company secretary. We can use with the consulting services. If you take a schedule of the board, when you take a schedule of meetings of the board, you take a schedule of meetings of subcommittees, then only then we can use the services of the company secretary. Or another alternative could be that of collaborating the functions of the risk of the legal person that we have to, you know, to enhance it and add some more functions to that of a company secretary. But in true sense, in essence, NDA having a permanent company secretary really is something that we can look at going forward in terms of how do we realign ourselves and shave on the head at head office and have more muscles on the ground. And having said that, if you look at the structure, we have legal and risk, then we have corporate governance planning, we have stakeholder relations, which is quite critical in terms of managing stakeholders. I'm talking about civil society, which are quite vast numbers. We have to continue to interface with them. We have to manage them, because it shouldn't be a touch and go kind of situation. Development management and research is our engine of program. The development management research is informed by the outcomes of the previous side of the model. What comes out of the civil society model, civil society mobilization, is what informs our research, is what informs our programming. Then the core operations, we have grant funding, resource mobilization operations in 9 provinces. In district offices, we presented at this very committee that we were wanting to expand to provincial office. Why we have this opportunity, Chairperson, Honourable Member, of saying it's a live structure. We are looking at saying we are not only looking at the graduates. We have civil society that can be manning district offices. Instead of having one personnel earning 400,000 per annum, how about having civil society that will, they are already on the ground, and fund those and let them run our programs as civil society rather than have one person and if we need an independent office of a district office. It's quite costly. But when we take it down, take it to say, you are a civil society, you're reputable, you know your community, you know problems, you know interventions. Let's take this budget that we have covered 9 personnel and give you the grant funding to run your program. We think we will have much impact than the current generic structure or the conservative structure of saying we want graduates, we want this. Because what we are picking up, those who are coming out of professional fishery education, they can be absorbed because they have theory, but the practice and the organic of the intervention of community development, they are still lacking. So if we can interface the two, recognition for prior learning as civil society, and interface it with the capacity of this newly graduated personnel, then we think we can have a dent in terms of quality issues. Finance, we have, and then corporate services in terms of communication, information, technology, human capital, support services. That's our structure currently, Chairperson and Member. Looking at the schematic area of how we have performed, we had targeted to perform at I think it's 90%, but we were short by 15% in terms of complete 100%. The green will reflect what we have achieved, then the red will reflect what we could not achieve. Breaking it down, it was to program one, which is human resources. It's like almost 50-50 what we achieved and what we did not achieve. And I'll take it down to a narrative in terms of how we're talking now. Program two, it's where we, it's our core, it's our engine in terms of interventions. And program three, it's our research unit and program. We had 3 programs, but program two had sub-programs. So in total, we achieved 23, and then we fell short of 4 in terms of completing the 15% that is underperforming in terms of the diagram. The following slide, Chairperson, I will try to highlight in terms of program one what we had set for ourselves to achieve. We had set a percentage of compliance. And what I need to make mention, Chairperson, to say we continue to learn from how we plan in terms of designing or developing the KPIs that are SMART. Normally, when you sit around, we'll think that it's SMART until it's tested and you find that, no, it's not what we had intended to do. And the deliberation that we've had with National Treasury, as an entity of poverty eradication, it's very difficult to deal with numbers only because we're dealing with human beings. We are dealing with beneficiaries. We are saying that we want them to be active participants and we want to encourage our SPR NDP active citizenry. But in terms of how we craft our KPIs, there's like number of people who attended this, but that doesn't qualify if they are now able to do 1, 2, 3, 4. So it's a discussion that we have with National Treasury to say how best are they warming up to qualitative KPI, which will talk to impact, rather than just a number, which is measurable, quantifiable, but in terms of impact, it's very difficult to measure. So the compliance, we had set 100%. However, we were at 99%. The deviation was from the lack of materiality framework, which we did not have at the time. And since then, we have prioritized to have it, and we think at this financial year, they will get 100%. The second one was implementation of marketing communication strategy. When we look at what we had, it was not communication strategy. So we had to be honest to ourselves to say, we need to delve and apply our minds when we say, what is it that we want when we talk about communication strategy? Because it's not a easy thing to buy on shelves. It's how you're supposed to engage with stakeholders on how they would want to receive what we do as our services. So we didn't achieve that. Completion of a functional integrated information system. We didn't have, this is a system where we were talking about that database in terms of, we didn't have a system, but it's a mandate. When we reflected back to the mandate, we saw that for the past years of our existence, we never had the system to allow us to do our database. The implementation and of the rollout plan of establishing the centralized program delivery centers of district, we didn't achieve much on the basis of the resources that we didn't have, and the offices in terms of renting these offices, they are quite pricey, and you don't want to rent an office space for a year or two, and you move. Remember when you get in your refurbish, you reconfigure to your needs. But in terms of sustainability, there was still sustainable. Hence we are saying in our strategy now going forward, these civil society, they are there, they've been there. Why can't you capitalize on them and resource them so that they do our intervention as well, which is what will inform what we are trying to achieve this year. Targets achieved in the APP, we had set 90%, we only achieved 85%, and we fall short by 5% of our KPI. That is program one. Chairperson, honorable members. On program two, we have other sub-programs as well. Sub-program one, we have mobilization and formulation. And there we had set number. This is what really frustrates me, to be honest, to say number of civil society participated in the mobilization engagement. Okay, number, they participated, then what? Because we're supposed to qualify by having a program where we would be able to go back and measure to say, all those who participated, where are they now? And so hence I'm saying the challenge that we've been having with Treasury. Treasury would not say, no, we're not about impact, we want numbers, how many are you targeting? So we're pleading for the support of this committee, and as you always supported us in making sure that we move from this stereotype of numbers and recognize that we are working with human beings and we're working with vulnerable. We had targeted 3,050. We were 592 5956, which was an overachievement. We had different outreach programs. And I think what we have done now, we other leadership or other ministers have begun to acknowledge the importance of having a NDA in their outreach program. They would invite us, we'll present what we do, and from there we've seen that there's a shift now and there's that a collaborative thinking in terms of when they plan their outreach, NDA, because it's a national, it's not for social development, but before it was just only appearing on outreach program for social development. So we've seen a shift, and that shift is assisting us to have more exposure and more people being aware of what we do in terms of intervention. Number of civil society organizations assisted to formalize their structures. We had said 720, we were at 803, but we were exceeded by 83. On these ones too, it's just the number of them having an NPO certificate if they want to have it, then what? So those are the things, if you're a developmental agency, you must begin with an end in mind to say, the model says we want to take them to sustainability. So we must track them right through until we assure and report to this committee that now we can attest that they are sustainable. But to have touch and go, it won't take us any far. So I think the next administration, with the report that will come out from here, will assist us to push for this in terms of thinking as a developmental state, not as a welfare state, because they keep on falling back to NPOs because there will be handouts in terms of those welfare programs, whereas we are now looking for more developmental programs in their services. Number of CSOs assessed to identify institutional needs. I can simply say they are more than this, but we what the system could capture and reflect on was this. We overachieved on that one as well. We had set for 3,050, but we achieved 5,956, and we were overachieving by 2,956. Number of CSOs assisted to register with appropriation registration, I think as I highlighted that, it's an achievement, but for me, as a developmental person, it's not an achievement because it's a number. It's a tick box that you are registered, now you have a certificate, so we need to take it beyond that. Number of CSOs referred to other agencies for technical, financial support. Here we talk about your agricultural specifics, your incubation in terms of SMEs, where they go beyond what we can offer in terms of intervention. Because some they approach us not because they want money, but they want a technical skill. That's when we get to refer them to other agencies to support them. Sub-program 2, institutional capacity building. Number of CSOs assessed, we do assess them before we give them assistance. And this one, in terms of assessment, the variance, we achieved 7,000 instead of 6,000. The strength of partnership that makes us move beyond what we are. Other provinces are beginning to see that there is a value and a benefit in partnering with us, so that we can massify our resources that we have. Number of CSOs trained and mentored to comply with registration. We said we had 3,750. Here, when we talk about compliance with registration, we are not only focusing on NPOs, we are focusing across the spectrum. Those who need to be compliant, we make sure those who get to our intervention program, they get to comply, we monitor them. So we did give extra training to those, especially ECDs and cooperatives. Number of civil society organizations capacitated in civil society management per year. We overachieved on that one as well, due to the involvement of private sector in terms of partnership. Number of NPOs trained, we work very well with Department of Social Development, where they are able to assist us in training them in precisely around the issues of NPO, which we think going forward, even at social development, this should inform the funding of the institutions that offer welfare services. So I think going forward, we should be pushing at that to say, when we say compliance, it goes across, because some other categories, they are seen as compliant by their very nature of being big. And then the little one or the small emerging one, they are most of the time victimized, if I can use that radical word, in terms of compliance because of the illiteracy level and all that, and they are being out scared from the cities where they have access to all these things to assist them to comply. The last sub-program is resource mobilization, Chairperson, honorable members. We conducted a number of assessments for resource mobilization. We were able to expand to other districts, and we overachieved to 699 beyond the 2060 that we had set for ourselves. The rent value, this is just purely a fundraising value that we go through as NDA to ensure that, as I highlighted earlier, that what we get from Treasury is for administration. So how we find what we are supposed to be grant funding with, we must see to finish. Then these are the initiatives that assist us to get money to fund this community. We had targeted 8 million. We achieved 61.7 million. We fell short of 18.2 million. We are not. We did not meet this target on the basis that the economy, as it stands right now, for past 2 years, we haven't been stable. So those even that they were promising, and one need to mention with emphasis that to have a partner, sometimes it takes 3 to 6 months just to engage on getting this person to partner with us. At the last minute, the people, they said, no, the budget, we have changed the focus, we are no longer possible. Having invested time and resources going in and out of meetings with this folk and internet participants or internet stakeholders. Number of civil society grant funded for capacity building per year, we had targeted 900, and then we ended up funded 1,787. We exceeded by 887. Our program, those programs in terms of those initiatives that were grant funded, we are assisted by provinces in terms of partnership. But one must mention that even the Department of Social Development, because when I say provincial partners, I simply mean social development. Other departments are not coming to play. So the little that we get to exceed our target is because of that partnership with provinces. Remember, the provinces of social development, they are independent in their own nature. We can have a national understanding and getting the resources and allocation from the national, but when it comes to provinces, we have to go province by province and negotiate. If they decide they are not giving us, they don't give us, and national has no upper hand to instruct them to give us money. So that's what we've been toing and throwing between ourselves and the department and provinces. And you find that in provinces, we might want to have this intervention, which is what is coming out of the mobilization. And the province might have other priorities which are not talking to our priorities as well. Number of individuals directly benefited from the program, we exceeded our target of 2.7, and we were sitting at 3488, which was 788 more. Number of partnership agreements concluded and signed, we had targeted 21, we achieved 21. I must emphasize, Chairperson and honorable members, that these partnerships going forward, we are looking at saying it's not necessarily the number of partners that you have. It's the value of the partnership that we have. So we are now, in terms of reviewing our targeting, we can have 4 strong partners who will supersede maybe 50 partnerships that we would have had. Because we have calculated the cost of going to this meeting, trying to lobby the funds, and it far exceeds the money that we get in return at the end. And at times you go the whole year, they come at first, they said, no, we are going to give you 20 million. They can't spend that 20 million in a year, then they will want to say to us, we want to give you 20 million. And we can't take it because it's already end of financial year. So those are the dynamics that we encounter, and when we re-strategize in terms of how we view partnerships, we want to go into few partnerships, but punchy and strong partnerships that will give more value and more impact in us achieving what we want to achieve. And then, sub-program grant funding sustainability. Number of grant funding and sustainability needs assessment, we exceeded by 82 because there are now district offices that are now functional. Number of CSOs that receive grant funding per year, we had targeted 200, but we actually achieved 162. We are less by 38. What we discovered, Chairperson, I think since my arrival in November 2016, was to go through the policies that we have that allows us to give this money and to account for this money. We discovered that most of the policies that we had were very fluid. They were not achieving the intended purpose for these policies to hold water, to be watertight and all that. The issue was the mismanagement of funds that we were experiencing a lot. When you go to the banking institutions, they will tell you that we don't have a relationship with you. We have a relationship with the project so and so. So you can't stop us, having picked out the mismanagement of whatever, but you can't stop them from transacting beyond the contract that they have signed. And the non-cooperativeness of the police services in terms of being, you know, fast in acting against those whom we've picked up to be managing funds. But what we have done in terms of our reviewing our policy, it's tight such that we have a relationship now with banking institutions so that when we pick up these flaws, we are able to say stop funding until they sort out 1, 2, 3. And in terms of sorting 1, 2, 3, 4, some it's not by intention, some it's a lack of knowledge. So time and again we go back with capacity building to strengthen their understanding and their capacity of executing their duty. Number of civil society that assisted to join the CSOs network per year. We did achieve more here, but what we are seeing in terms of the sector itself, there is competition for the shrinking resources. So they are not encouraged to be part of networks because the civil society now has been used in terms of our interventions and activities, has been used as a bread and butter issue. To say if I have my own CSO, I'll get my own funding and my few. Remember with cooperatives, it can be family members and all that until the agreement states otherwise. So it's an issue of survival. So now, in terms of us encouraging this network, is to say they need to have a voice in platforms like NetLex to inform the policies that hinder their survival. So that's what we are facilitating for now in ensuring that we strengthen them as part of capacity building. Number of society organizations linked to sustainable resources. Many were linked, many are surviving, many have opened their mini shops, others have, especially youth, have been coming on board very well with the referrals to the Office of the National Youth Agency. So in that one, we find that the youth are thriving more, and the elder people that are more in farming, agricultural, they are getting more support, especially from the Department of Agriculture and Rural Development. In terms of the slide on research assessment, which is the last program, we had a number of research and policy briefs produced. We are targeting 18, we did 18. For going forward, Chairperson and honorable members, we want to present some of this to you. We've just circulated one of the publications that we had. And I remember last year we did circulate another publication that we did. So this is as the outcome. Yeah, we had this publication of the work of NDA with other partners and all that. So we've published quite a few, but what we are struggling with, as much as they are publication, but they are not translated to the language where people can easily relate to. So it remains an academic document, which for them really they need another person to be involved so that it reaches. So as a developmental agent, we need that capacity of translation. We know that Department of Arts and Culture, they offer the services in other provinces. Department of the Office of the Premier, they would assist. But what is hindering our people's progress in terms of understanding if their police indeed reached where it was supposed to be is the translation. They're supposed to relate to say what is happening in Limpopo, what is happening in Northwest in terms of agriculture from the reports that we produce. But we have that challenge where we are pleading with the committee to say, where it's possible in your forums with the arts and culture and all those custodians, the department that are custodians for interpretation, they assist us in this. Because if we had to take a share from what we have, we'll be left with nothing. A number of best practice publications, we had set 9, we achieved 9. Number of dissemination sessions for research reports, we had set 7, we had 10 due to the engagement. We had a study in the Eastern Cape looking for that study, so time and again we'll go and engage. But we don't want to limit where we are piloting some projects or some initiatives. We want to take the learning from those and make sure that in other provinces they benefit from the learnings for that particular province. Because when you look at ECD, the norms and standards cut across all of them. But in terms of how they come around in delivering the services, it's quite different. So we are looking into those things to how best we get platforms to disseminate this information that is coming out from the research. Number of participants who attended research reports, we said 260, we ended up with 342. Number of evaluation studies on NDA programs conducted, we had 5, and we did indeed achieve 5. Without chairperson, it would be prudent, and I think we are doing it for the first time, to say we wanted to report on the governance issues in terms of our accounting authority, to say how is the board, or who is, what is their role, what do we have in terms of a base eye view for the committee to get to understand. I know previously it has never been done, but we thought it was prudent to bring it forth, to say NDA board was supposed to have, in terms of the act, was supposed to have been constituted with 11 members, 6 from the civil society and 5 from government. And as far as up until the end of the term of the current board, which was which ended in June, we had 10 board members. We were always short of one. In terms of the structures, we had a management committee with its chairperson, we had audit and risk committee, we had human resources and remuneration committee, we had project research committee. All these committees had their own chairperson, and there was this board where they would all report in terms of all the chairs reporting on their committee work. The internal audit unit compiled an annual coverage plan for management of prioritized and strategic risk in the NDA. That's one thing that we thought it was prudent to do, because as an organization you might have a unit that deals with risk at a operations level, but we wanted to pick it up at a strategic level because there are strategic risks that the organization might be exposed to. Board evaluation controls, the board assisted by the audit and risk committee have the effectiveness of the internal control system, operational risk covered in the scope of internal and external audit, adequacy, reliability, accuracy, financial information, any accounting and auditing concerns identified through audits, the compliance with legal accounting and regulatory framework, and annual report and discuss with the AG material aspect of the report. So we didn't want to have a position where we just come and just say, AG said 1, 2, 3, we wanted to unpack and be alive to the realities of what the impact of the AG's opinion threat in our governance structure. Human resources, the subcommittee, in terms of the whole organization, NPA had 192 employees for financial year under review, 17 and 18. Africans are predominant racial group, with females being in the majority at 66%, females at the majority at 66%. The NDA is 3-4 employees living with a disability, which translates, pardon me for the 3-4, it's 4 employees with living with a disability, which translates to 2% of the staff complement. So we are compliant, Chairperson, honorable members, we've achieved our 2% in terms of staff complement. The vacancy rate is at 19%, whilst the turnover rate at the NDA is at 4%, following the departure of 8 employees. We are always thrilled to have attrition where people are getting promoted. Because our intention is to be as small as possible and having more impact in the, on the ground as fast as possible. So we are not excited when we have big employee numbers at head office specifically, but if it's attrition in terms of getting promotions and maybe venturing to other adventures, we are fine. But we, I think for now, God has assisted us not to to lose any of our employees due to attrition in terms of passing on. Three employees attracted disciplinary action due to non-compliance with NDA policies, and those are now finalizing the current financial year. At that time, we could have done, but for 18, 19 would be different, would be presenting a different picture altogether. 0.63% of personal budget has been spent on training and development. I think on this one I need to mention that the training and development is, as I have alluded earlier, to say what I've picked up as a person who worked with communities is that those who come from the academic institutions, they don't have the grip of the social issues on the ground. So you find them, they struggle at first, where do I start, who do I contact, and all that. But when you appoint a person who's been in this civil society sector, it catches fire, it just runs. So those are the things that we need to be looking at when we attract for appointments going forward. This is the summary of the cost in terms of program one. The average cost, we are at 749. In terms of program two, the expenditure there, it was 128, the intended. It was 128,601, but we are at 562. And the program three, I think it's the lowest, but it's the one that is important in terms of translating what is coming out of civil society as the model and developing our interventions as an engine. So that's what we have. The total expenditure is at 230 million, so that's 0.91. And in terms of average per course per employee, it's 623. Chairperson, with your permission, I would like to end here as part of program and narrative before we get to financials. I'll be guided by the chairperson to take questions now or after the financials have been presented. Thank you, chairperson. I now invite Mr. Shinganyo, as an acting CFO, to present the financials. Thank you, chairperson.
Thanks, Chairperson and committee members, and thanks, CEO. I'll be taking the members through the how we have performed financially in terms of the resources that were provided to us, and how did we spend against the plan or the budget for the financial year 17-18. We'll start first with the resources part of the NDA's financial position, which is the income part of it. In terms of the income that the NDA had available at its disposal to implement its programs, firstly, we received an allocation from National Treasury, an allocation of 200 million. So we had budgeted for 200 million, and over and above the allocation that we received from National Treasury, I think through partnerships that the CEO alluded to, we went out and we raised resources from other government departments and from the private sector. In terms of those are the resources worth about 18.5 million, which we raised from other partners, which we call, in terms of financial terms, are called third-party funds. These are conditional grants that we receive, and all that money goes towards funding programs of the NDA. So to assist us to fund programs over and above the allocation that we officially receive from government. I think in the current financial year, we implemented third-party funds to the value of 18.5 million, although the CEO indicated in her presentation that we had raised 61 million. So the difference between 61 million and the 18.5 will be funds that have gone directly from the partners where we had raised, where those resources have gone directly to the program that we fund. So those will be funds that would not have gone into the NDA bank account, but those will be funds that the NDA had facilitated on behalf of CFOs that are funded out there. So those will be instances where the money has gone directly to those organizations and not via the NDA. So the 18.5 will be what has gone into the NDA bank account and from the NDA into the programs that we funded. So that is the biggest component of the revenue. So the two sources of revenue give us about 290. The remainder of the revenue is made up of other income. In terms of other income, when we go and raise third-party funds, we normally charge a small administration fee to be able to cover the cost of implementing those programs on behalf of the partner. So there's a small administration fee that we charge. A big portion of it makes up the other income, which is about 2 million. Then we had interest income, which is income that we raise on the funds that are sitting in the bank whilst we are implementing programs. So in terms of revenue, the NDA had 226 million available at its disposal against a budget of 225 million. So in the next slide, I'll be taking you through how we have spent those resources that were available to the NDA in terms of the three programs of the NDA, which are Program 1 and 2. Program 1 and 2 are the core mandate of the NDA, and which is your research component and the development component of the NDA. So in terms of total resources or total expenses, the NDA spent 215 million in the current financial year against a budget of 241 million. Then in terms of how it's broken up, the total expenditure, 99.5 million was spent on the administration and governance part of the organization. Then a total of 118 million was spent on the mandate, which is the core function of the NDA, which is your program 2 and program 3. Of the 118 million is made up of 110 million which was spent on program 2, which is CSO development, against a budget of 123 million. Program 3, which is research and development, we spent 5.8 million against a budget of 7.5 million. In the next slide, members, the report just quickly explains the variances between budget and actual in terms of the three programs of the NDA. In terms of the administration budget of the NDA, we had spent 99.5 million was spent on the administration component of the organization against a budget of 110 million. So basically in that program we had spent 90% of the budget that was set aside for the administration side of the business. In terms of now the areas of variances, so the variance of 10% between your actual and budget was mainly attributable to the following areas. There was an underspending in the area of consulting and professional fees where the board requested that a due diligence be conducted in terms of funds that the NDA has granted over a number of years. At the end of that financial year, we had only appointed a service provider to conduct that due diligence on behalf of the board, and that program that project was only completed in the 18-19 financial year. Then another area of underspending was in the area of establishment of district offices. I think the CEO did allude that we, as an organization, we wanted to expand the services that the NDA provides into districts, because currently Before then, we only had 9 offices, only in the big cities in the nine provinces. So in the current in that financial year, the plan was to establish 9 district offices. That is an additional 1 office per province in prioritized districts. So there was a saving there. Part of the saving was because in certain areas the partners were very supportive to the NDA and gave us offices for free that we didn't have to pay for. And in certain instances, there were some delays in the finalization of offices. Some of the offices were only established towards the end of the financial year. There was also an underspending in the area of marketing and communication costs. And one of the big areas, I think, that the CEO alluded to in terms of the underspending was the project that the NDA, that the CEO spoke to about the establishment of a CFO database. So at the end of that financial year, we had just concluded a tender process to appoint a service provider that will assist the NDA to develop a system that will be able to produce a database. So that project is underway in the 18-19 financial year, which is the current financial year. So as at the end of that year, we had just concluded a process, a tender process to acquire those services. So in terms of now the money that the NDA had spent on its mandate, which is on program 2 and program 3, the organization had spent 150 million on its mandate against a budget of 131.4 million. The expenditure of 131.4 against the budget of the expenditure of 115 against the budget of 131 represents 88% of the budget. So basically it means we had spent 88% of the budget that was allocated for the two programs in terms of program 2 and 3. In terms of program 2, which is the CFO development, 110 million was spent against the budget of 123, representing a spend of 89% of the annual allocation. The areas of underspending in terms of that program, there was an underspending of 4.7 million due to delays in the approving of funds to NPOs. I think some of the delays are attributable to a review of the policy to make sure that the organization grants funds to the right beneficiaries and that there are proper processes and systems in place to make sure that those projects achieve the objectives that they wanted to achieve. There was also an underspending of 12.9 million, which was basically due to delays in disbursement of funds to some of the projects that were funded, and those funds, most of them were disbursed in the current financial year 18-19. In terms of the research part of the research program of the NDA, 5.8 million in that financial year was spent against a budget of 7.8, representing a spend of 75% of the budget that was allocated for the program. The underspending was partly attributable to delays in the finalization of evaluations of the CSO development framework. I think the CEO flighted the framework that the NDA used, which was implemented for the first time, I think, in 2016. So the NDA undertook a process to go and evaluate the framework, whether is it assisting the organization to achieve its objectives. So that process was only procured in 2017-18, and the actual finalization of that evaluation only took place in the 18-19 financial year. There was also a delay in the finalization of a study that the NDA is conducting on ECD in collaboration with the University of Fort Hare. The first phase, which was of that study, was only finalized in the 18-19 financial year. Chair, in terms of the balance sheet, which is basically The financial position of the NDA, which is the next slide, which is the balance sheet. In terms of the balance sheet, I think we can see in the first part of the balance sheet, which represents the assets that the NDA has, the biggest portion of the assets is the cash and cash the cash that it has in the bank account, which represents about 99% of the assets of the NDA. Then the rest of the assets are made up of the debtors that owe us money. The biggest portion of our debtors are the rental deposits on the offices that we are leasing in the nine provinces, including some of the district offices that were established. In terms of now the liability side, so what portion of that money is owed to other people, which is the liabilities. The liabilities of the NDA make up about 50.8%, 50.8 million, and those liabilities are basically made up of your payables to creditors, where people have rendered the service to NDA, and at the end of the financial year, those funds were not yet paid, so your liabilities, which is your creditors. There's also a provision for employee benefits. Basically, employee benefits represent the portion of the leave pay, and those people that have structured their salary packages so that they can receive a debting check at the end of the financial at the end of December, so that debting check gets paid in December. So a portion of it represents the money that the NDA is keeping on behalf of its employees, so that they can cash it in December. That is when the debting check is paid, so that a portion of the employee benefit as per the balance sheet. Then in the balance sheet as well, I think there's about 5% of the liabilities, which is basically provision for payment of funds due to projects. And a big portion of the liabilities, which is 56%, is made up of funds that we had raised from third parties that at the end of the financial year, we had not completed the implementation of those. So currently, in terms of that balance sheet, we were sitting with about 18 million of liabilities that are of funds that we are implementing on behalf of the credit service. The funds are about 28 million in terms of those monies that we had raised to implement projects on behalf of the partners that give us money. So those are the funds that we were sitting with in the balance sheet at the end of the financial year. Chairperson, I think in terms of the finances, that is how we had performed in terms of financial performance against budget and in terms of the state of position of the organization at that 31st March. Thank you, CEO. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. In closing, the presentation, the Chair had alluded to the challenges and remedial measures. The first challenge that was identified was information risk and mitigation strategies, which we highlighted as the misalignment of the system and the performance POE, proof of evidence, as in raw data. So there we had a risk management strategy that was put in place, which included quarterly monitoring quality of information. We have shortcomings in reporting systems and the quality of performance information. There was a robust automated system for quarterly reporting on performance information that was put in place for 2018-19. Training of and capacity building of officials to ensure quality reporting in all provinces, including head office. Development of relevant policy and procedures to govern performance information and reporting thereof. And the fewer resources raised for funding was another challenge that we had. Development of focused comprehensive strategy on resource mobilization for grant funding, which touches strongly on the participation of all government departments. And the lack of compliance to the legislation by other government departments except for DSD, which we owe our livelihood as the agency to, which is BSPE. But other departments there, we commit in terms of presentation at portfolio committee. The portfolio committee committed to assist us by engaging the Minister of Finance in terms of the international donors that come through the country, because they go through straight to National Treasury. And then it was in terms of ensuring that they would be trying to get in touch with the business leader of government in ensuring that they place the case in terms of the non-compliance of other government departments in ensuring that this mandate is implemented as how it was pronounced by Parliament. And lastly, Chairperson, though it's not, we did not put it as such because we're not sure if we had that authority to say the location. We've discovered that when an entity like this one is located under a government department, it gets swallowed as if it's one of the units in the government department. But when you look at the planning, monitoring, and evaluation department, when they make a call on whatever that needs to be done in terms of intervention, everyone runs. Originally, the NDA was located at Treasury when it was established, and every department was compliant. But since it was moved to be reporting under a different department, there was a retreat by other departments. I think that one, you got it right, Chairperson, to say maybe it's an issue of the location. Because when you get to look at it, when departments goes to dialogue with communities, they go individually, but we don't have a database as a country, because NDA is for the country. As a country, we don't have a consolidated database of saying this is how we've engaged with our civil society, this is how we've engaged with communities. So in a nutshell, it's supposed to be when Department of Health and all that wants to communicate, NDA is the one who will be mobilized because the model commands us to do so. So those are the areas, Chairperson, but I want to take this opportunity on behalf of the agency, on behalf of my team and myself, really to express the appreciation of the support from day one. I first to come to present at this committee. I've learned so much through the inputs and really appreciated the support. And in closing, Chairperson, we recommend that the Select Committee approves the 2017-2018 National Development Agency's annual report. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. A mouthful to thought. I'm sure by now you can even see yourself a big improvement in terms of reporting. Let me appreciate the manner in which you have reported, not hiding anything, transparent both in terms of program and also in terms of your finances. I appreciate this. It's a very good job to not say. Except the numbers, as you were saying, number of what, which we don't know exactly what are those. Community organizations are doing. Seated here as a person representing Mpumalanga, I would want to know which organization are doing what in my program. But the manner in which you are reporting in terms of number of it may not be helping us that much. Something that has to be looked at. The indicators, because these are indicators, for me, they are not smart enough. Not realistic. Oh, realistic is something else. They are not smart enough to tell me as a person, I would want to read this report in your absence. You have to be there all the time when you look at the report to explain what it means. It doesn't have to be like that. It has to be an independent report without a person reading the report. All members, there is a report. I'm inviting comments and questions from the entity.
starting with Honorable Pambo Spokwane, Honorable Hutton, Honorable Zwane. Those are the hands that I have now.
Thank you, Chair. My compliments to the presenter. On page 17, on the human resource presenter, I see Chairperson, gender is being accommodated in the NDA, with Africans being predominant racial group and females exceeding the 50% to bring equality and being 66%. My compliments on that one. And my question on that one is, on the 66%, which levels are they? Because you can have the 66% only to find out they are not on top positions. So you need to explain that they are accommodated across the board from level whatever, including people with disabilities. My other compliment is the fact that you have reached the 2% expected by the government on the people with disabilities. And my first question in that regard, disabilities always are associated in the departments across the board with paraplegics and quadriplegics. I want to know from you, on that 2%, how many invisible disability have you employed? And how many visible disability have you employed? And I mean people with epilepsy, with bipolar, on the invisible disability, and on the quadriplegics and paraplegics. And have you, I know there's a reluctance in employing because of reasonable accommodation. I want to know, have you catered for the assistive devices on the disability? In terms of, and I'm not talking about the REMS in terms of wheelchair. I'm talking, yes, the assistive devices on reasonable accommodation. You hear me? Another question, the third question, how do you accommodate the youth on your programs? You have said nothing about the youth. Your presentation is silent on the youth. Maybe you know about it, that the youth is accommodated on this program and working with this NGO to accommodate the youth. And how have you accommodated the youth, seeing that the unemployment is imperative, especially with the youth, the sector of the youth. The vacancy rate is 19%, you have stated it. How do you plan to combat the vacancy rate? That's my question. Because for me, 19%, I expected lesser number of that. My first question, on the departure of 8 employees, have you conducted the exit interview at the National Development Agency? And what were the, it's just that I want to know, what were the outcomes of the exit interviews? You stated, on my fifth question, you stated 0.63 of the personal budget has been spent on training and development. I want to know, have you accommodated people with disabilities when you develop? Because they're always left out. They're always left out. Have you taken some of them to be developed so that they don't stick to same level? They can see a development in their position. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I think I'm finished. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to understand some of the financial and performance issues. Firstly, go to performance. From the presentation, I see that this is at least the second consecutive adverse performance audit received by the NDA. I would like to know what happened in prior to that. Obviously, if an entity received two consecutive adverse opinions, then there must be some repeat findings. And the first question would be, and I don't find the performance audit in the document, in the annual report. I'd love to see that. And I'll come to the reason for that a bit later. But my first question then will be, obviously, I think we should get the audit, performance audit report from the AG. It should be submitted to the committee. I would like to know what are the repeat audit findings on the performance. It was addressed sort of on the last slide, but it really doesn't come to the core of it. So I would like to know what are the repeat findings and why wasn't anything done about it. Now, linked to that, about 700,000 rand was paid as performance bonuses to the executive members, of which almost a quarter of a million went to the CEO. Obviously, that should be based on KPIs, which would be linked to performance. Where the AG found that the performance in the performance audit is questionable, the reporting is questionable, I would like to know, understand how the NDA came then to the decision to pay 700,000 and almost a quarter of a million to the CEO in performance bonuses, where the basis of performance is questionable. I'd like to get that, and perhaps also then, as far as the performance bonuses are concerned, to get the context of the amount that was paid in the previous period. Then coming to the finances, as an overview, if I look, just glance over it, 88 million in irregular expenditure, which was more than 16 million for the current year. 12 million was sort of condoned, but the bulk of this is about procurement procedures. Also, repeat findings, it doesn't stop. I would like to know what the NDA is going to do. This is so easy to stop this. In the human resource portion, it was mentioned that disciplinary steps were taken against three of the employees. However, not a word was said about the criminal charges against at least one account staff, from which 3.1 million was apparently recovered by the asset forfeiture unit. I would like to get more than that. What was the total amount involved that was siphoned off the NDA, and over what period? Obviously, 3.1 was recovered. And then secondly, were any other criminal charges laid against any other staff member for similar conduct? In the PFMA, it is a requirement that for irregular expenditure that steps should be taken to find the source and to recover money or to do some disciplinary or even criminal action, take some disciplinary or criminal action against it. Mention was made about now we've got a well-established history of irregular expenditure over a number of years. I would like to know how much of these money was recovered and how many disciplinary or criminal cases were instituted against the then, yeah, that's all at this stage. Thank you.
Thank you,
My apologies for giving a kind of late and missed.
Just another word on this. Sorry to interrupt there. The underspending, which appears to be chronic, with some 30 million forfeited back to Treasury, it cannot only be savings, it appears to be a trend of under-expenditure in the NDA. This gets coming down. Sorry for that. That was my last line that I thank you.
Thank you, Chair. As a result, I would have missed some of the initial presentations. Nonetheless, I'll be corrected if I'm not very correct with my questioning or information. Firstly, I want to establish if there is a correlation between the information of the target in the APP versus the report. If there is no correlation, I seek an explanation as to why it is so. And secondly, the issues raised by the ATS, congratulations. You got an unqualified audit report, but there is still emphasis of matter. I want to know what is it that's being done in terms of attending to the emphasis of matter as referred to by the Auditor General, and whether your internal audit has got capacity to ensure that they actually decrease and waste full expenditure in the audit. I appreciate your recent report. Would be very helpful. I would be interested to know what is the Gini coefficient if the situation stands now, because it is a very important tool to measure the extent to which we are moving in the country to manage the health and the health needs. Criteria for locating district offices. When you locate your district offices, do you focus in town or you locate them in the rural areas? Because there is a tendency by all departments, not only cities, to locate offices in towns and leave the district, the rural areas far off town. When they want to go to the office of the NDA, they have got to pay the money. So I just wanted to know the criteria that you use to actually locate. Are they meant to really assist the poor, or are they in town? In the evidence, the AG is complaining that the information that was submitted CFO to him to be able to express an opinion was not adequate in such an instance, and it did not get enough evidence to be able to express his opinion genuinely. What are you doing? And then the issue of unutilized third party funds. But what happens? Do they go back to Treasury or do they remain in your account? Criteria for the funding of the civil society organization. What criteria are used to fund those? And how many per province can we actually go to place at an endpoint at the CFOs that we have been able to fund and the projects that they are engaged in? Would like to see that, would like to know that. So that there is no duplication with other programs that is approached by the other departments. And lastly, Chairperson, net assets. There is a sharp decline as I look at the two consecutive financial years in net assets. The other one was 71 million, if I'm correct, 71.2, and the latter one was 37.6. I seek an explanation if I can. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for the presentation. Firstly, I would like to really comment on the issue of the 66% of female employees in company. We really appreciate that. I just need to find out. I'd like to start firstly with what the expenditures and the finances of the CFO. You have reported a whole lot of delays as reasons to you not achieving what you're supposed to achieve. Are these delays caused by poor planning? Have you dealt with everything that needs to be dealt with so that we do not have the same report the next time we meet? And I needed also to commend you for the fact that your assets actually exceed your liabilities. I really commend you on that. But I'm also concerned with the underspending, the money that keeps going back to Treasury when there is so much that you can do as an agency that you actually here, because I believe you're here because you want us to help you to get more money. But now it concerns me that they're underspending and there's money going back as well. And then going back to our lady CEO, I just need to find out, since that it is just the Department of Social Development that is working with you, what steps have you taken to ensure and encourage other departments to come into the play? And do you have reasons, if any, that they have given you for them not being part of this of your organization? Your CSOs, how do you identify them? I just need to know the criteria of how you identify the CSO and what programs do you do to ensure that you reach out to the CSOs, especially in the rural areas. How do you make sure that you are known? And you mentioned something as well about assessment of the CSO. I just need to understand, what is it that are you assessing, you know, and how has it helped the agency, the outcome of the assessment? And the accessibility has been asked. I also need to find out on the issue. I'm very interested on what you said when it comes to your organigram in respect of your company secretary. And I need to make sure that I understood you very well, because I think it's very important that we save cost as much as possible. So if you say that the agency can do without having a permanent company secretary, that's what you're saying, how will it impact the agency? And how do you foresee, or how can I say, have you done your forecast study? Yes, I'm glad you understand me. On how will this work if you do not have an in-house company secretary and the internal audit as well, if we can see the same questions. On your achievements, I just wrote achievements slide 9, so I need to find out what I wanted to say there. Oh, that also, I just need to understand, if I understand the student correctly, you said you have not achieved in 1.2, am I correct? Slide 9. The brand awareness thing. So you have not achieved what you had planned. What are the reasons behind that? Because I think it's very, very important that, because I'm from Gauteng, and I can tell you of a number of townships and CSOs that I do not think they even know that you guys exist. And if they know about you, they don't know what services you can provide them. And on the issue of your referrals, because you say you have referred some CSOs to other agencies, do you make follow-ups on those referrals? And should the CSOs not find joy, are you able to go back and make sure that you help us find out why is it that they did not get what they want and help them in achieving that. I just like to make an emphasis on the fact that I think you have also mentioned that it looks like the interest is more on numbers, you know, than the actual impact that the agency can do. So us as the portfolio, what is it that you think we can do to help you to be able to help these CSOs, and ideally what is it that you want to achieve as an agency? What are the interventions that you need to you think that you can bring into these CSOs to make a difference?
Focus ayo iye yase Eastern Cape mo special CSO. Yangona ngesikhathi into kokubakhetha ke badalule bathi nazi as CSO bebesicela so that sikwazi ukusikhangela. Also basebenze basondele kakhulu ku-social development, but xa usenza i-oversight okanye uzilandelela ii-programs zee-NGOs okanye kwezi projekthi sinazo phaa i-Eastern Cape yokuphala, into yokokuba ezinye zazo azisekho kodwa i-focus yona kwi-capacity building yokuphala, into yokokuba yeyona nto bayenzayo. Bayenza phi kanye? Yinto le bayenzayo no-social development, bancedisa intweni? Because yokuphala uba ke ii-projekthi ezizona zibakhona zifandwe kodwa ekugqibele nenxa ye-capacity zitshabalale. Also the kuyabonakala into yokokuba ebunyanisweni le nto ine-capacity u-NDA yiyona nto afokase kuyo, but umbuzo wam ke ngulo othi ingaba i-internal audit le yabo ikhe yacapacitatwana? Because xa ujongile kwinto ene-fruitless expenditure ne-wasteful expenditure kulapho basilela khona kakhulu. Yintoni abayenzayo ukuzama ukuncedisana ne-agency le okokuba baphume kule nto yokokuba kube khona ukusetyenziswa kwemali ngendlela engekho mthethweni? Enkosi.
Thank you very much. Let me request that you answer questions from Honorable Thomas Mobana before I come up with my own, because she'll be leaving.
The first question.
Thanks, Chairperson. Thanks, Honorable Members, for questions. I will try as much as possible to touch on all the areas and where maybe my team feels they need to add, where I might have left something, my team will ask. On the first one, it was the percentage in terms of women. I want to assure the Honourable Member that they are across the spectrum. We have provincial managers that are women. Your Eastern Cape, your KZN, your Limpopo, your Gauteng province, they are led by women at regional level. They are leading those provinces. We have EXCO. When I took over, yes, Mepora is a provincial manager. And I don't want to count, I just wanted to touch from higher level up, but we have from reception, we have assistant managers, we have in all categories. But I wanted to give a highlight first. In development and development managers, highly, it's women. I think it's Northwest with some men, but I don't have figures. I just want to indulge on where I have figures in my hand. It's four provincial offices that have women leaders, which before it was not the case. So we are catching up, we're not yet there. Executive level, when I started in November 2016, there was no women, there was one or two expo. So CFO, women, company secretary, women, myself, internal audit, though internal audit is not a woman. But I think it's Babe, it's Mr. Magongo, and it's two or three men at Expo. And yeah, I think it's three men at Expo. So the scale from the top, that's what we're addressing. Going down, I can give you figures that will equate exactly. And we are more happy and comfortable to finish in written. In terms of how we grade differently as a Schedule 3A, but when you translate, it will translate to the public service, because NPA, as much as it's semi-public, it's not like regulated by GPSA, but we align. We are trying to align, because when I started, even the salaries in terms of grading were far higher than the public service. But with the turnaround of consideration of the alignment that we need to do, we have since adjusted. So we don't have chief director, we have development managers. But development managers are as good as directors, so those are women. The executives are good as the DDGs, so we are at that level. In terms of how we call them, it's different, but it addresses the same category as the public sector. So we are balanced. In terms of disability, yes, we have those who are on wheelchairs. We don't have quadriplegic ones. We have the ones that are partially blind. We have those. Though in some instances, it takes really cautious and sensitivity for themselves to accept that they have it. But with the processes and the assistance of the Deputy Minister's program, we've since reached that point of categorizing them correctly. So, like the people with the albinism, before they were just people, they were not categorized. So as we take stock of what we have, this is where we've discovered that we have pockets in provinces, we have pockets in head office. We are happy to give the details in terms of written response, if the member would prefer so, in terms of breaking down, including the province, the projects in various provinces from the one that has been funded. We are happy, Jefferson, to finish that. In terms of youth, we did not want to categorize them independently, but in terms of statistics, when we want to pull out from what we fund, the youth is always there, especially in the innovative projects like your internet cafes that we have funded, they are there. In agriculture, they are not so much there, but in sewing, they are there, especially the young designers. But what we have seen is cocktail mix in terms of the categories that we identify. When, hence in the financial year 18-19, we said in terms of disability per se, we want to cover 7% as per white paper. But we can't have 7% in the Eastern Cape and 7%. The total organizational is the 7% that we want to achieve. So youth, we can emulate in terms of ages, because when we do the capacity building, the tools we use, they talk to gender, they talk to race, they talk to ages and all that. So we are happy to provide that, because when we present at this level, we are guided by what the chairperson and members would want to see going forward, how they want us to shape. So if the interest is to say, when you present a program too, we want to see the province, so we are happy to do that. So going forward, I think that's what we need to do, but we are happy as well to submit the breakdown of the youth that are represented in various projects in all provinces. And then the vacancy. I think I touched on this one when I presented, to say when you look at NDA, it's labor intensive. But the approach in terms of strategy, we need to see a shift from the learned, so to speak, inverted commas, to the civil society themselves driving their development with our support. So we want to see a shift from having a development manager who earns 500,000 per annum to translate that to a grant where each, let's say 10 members of the project, that 500,000, that project can go very far with the very organic structure that they have. So that's the shift that we want to have. We are not excitedly looking to fill in the vacancies at head office. We are looking to reducing the numbers, reskilling, redeploying, or reallocating to provinces because that's where work takes place. So currently, if we scrutinize deeply, you'll see that head office, in terms of policy making and all that, have larger numbers than what the implementing sector requires us to do. So that's what we are doing. In terms of 19%, we will be seeing a shift in terms of it's no longer going to be an executive, more executive and more executive. Rather, we have more people on the ground who knows the work on the ground, assisted by the policies that we develop in the head office. So that's how we intend to address that. Exit interviews, yes, honourable member, we're happy to say exit interviews we do have. Most of them, they get trainer structure. Most of them, they get into department. Most of them, they go independent. And like the former company secretary is running his own farm and all that. So you find yourself, if you are not into community development, the system kicks you in automatically. Then you look for areas where you are comfortable. Others are in other government departments. But the records of those interviews we do conduct. And what we have discovered, some people are not honest enough. They will just tell you what you want to hear. But what assists us is the performance assessment that is done by a supervisor to say, in terms of performance, how has the person been performing? So if that informs us, then we get to see the better picture to say it's because of 1, 2, 3. I've never had a scenario where a person gets out because of being frustrated of maybe a supervisor of an environment. However, when I started, I had 4 pillars that I presented to this committee to say to address communication, address organizational culture, to address efficiency, and to address work ethics, which has been lacking, which has been seeing the lot of projects not yielding to what they were supposed to achieve. But basically, I think I've covered what the member had requested me to respond to.
Thank you. No, thank you very much, CEO. The department will come in terms of our responses later, not only the entity, because some of the responses require to the department to speak on them. CEO, the board, how was the board performed? Why don't we have a board now? If the last time was in January, obviously we knew that it was going to lapse. We knew it was going to lapse. Maybe the department would have to come in there. And why it was not appointed? Why was it not appointed? And how was the previous board before? That is my question from the board. They've covered a number of issues that I wanted to raise, like it becomes a contradiction when you complain about money but you still underperform on the little money that you have. For the person who is to lobby for you, it becomes a difficulty that you come across it, that how do you lobby for more? They can't spend the little they have. So it becomes an issue that you need to address. The location maybe is something that will have to be part of our legacy report. That as a committee we recommend that the location of your of this entity be looked at, because it has become normal. It's normal. Who are you to monitor me? You are at the same level. You are the minister, I'm a minister. Who are you to oversee me? So it's something that we may have to put in the legacy report, that it has to be prioritized. May not be treasury, maybe somewhere else, but it has to be looked at in a strategic position where it will be able to perform. I don't know, CEO, whether you are outdoing yourself. It's a good thinking when you look at your organogram. But I see those positions where I am sitting. When the entity is operating at max, you need them. you need them, don't work on downgrading yourself. Because we all looking forward to this entity performing at its best and maximum. So if you take out the company secretary and the internal audit, which is very much important, then it may affect you when you are operating at your full capacity. So I think those positions may be required. Maybe relook at reorganizing your department, because I saw some functions that are belonging, like your grant funding. For me, it's a finance matter. Why is it in that development? And the development will be going to the center itself. It's a question of re-looking at your different units. For example, on your core operations, you have the grant funding, resource mobilization, and capacity. Why grant funding is not in the your finance section? It's about money. If it is grant funding, as I understand grant funding, it may belong to the finance. And your resource mobilization and resource capacity building. Resource mobilization and capacity building is not one thing for me. These are two different functions which may be belonging to different boxes. It's something that you may have to look at. And also on your district, I feel that you need to have those boxes. You need to have them. Some of these seasons, they become alive during the funding time. And you are from the community. They are not there. When you are about to allocate funding, they become alive. Go and buy from these other people, call my family, yeah, we are working here, it is. I know some of them in my own province. They need a close monitoring. It will be dangerous for me to get another NGO looking after them, because it might be doing the same. Head office, you think they are alive and functional, only to notice that they're functional when you come and see them. And it becomes an individual thing, where a person gets money, then deceive all of us that they are functioning. The other thing is a politician is very much important, because whose interests are they serving? You know, when we do bills, we invite some of them. As they present, you can pick, you can tell that this one is aligned to this political party. So it might be dangerous to take government resources and giving them in one civil society to look after all of them. So I still feel that district offices, you do need. You need, because anyone has a place of government office. It may take time, but I feel that you do need them. It's paining to note that even your own department, social development, since we started, we've been saying they must increase money. That is why I want them to come to you. They are not, even themselves, not complying. I would want to know why. If it is difficult to them anyway, really, who will take you seriously? Because now we are with them. Why? But I do want to appreciate that it's not usual that you find that the percentage of performance is close to a percentage of expenditure. In most departments, when you get reports, you find that they've spent 99% of money or they're overspending. But in terms of performance, they're very low. So we appreciate that. It means that there's something good that is happening there. I want to appreciate yourself and the committee members, honorable members. Remember, we're very hard on the department and departments, all of them, about ECDs. Mm-hmm. This is the president's pronouncement that now ECD education will be responsible. It's our effort. Don't forget that. We pushed them very hard in the beginning. We were so unpopular with the departments. Because when you talk to social development, they will say, tell you, no, we're only giving the stipend, 15 rand per child. Then you go to education, you're responsible for curriculum, you go to health, you only look at health issues. Our question as a committee was that we can't, as government, say ECD is a priority, but nobody's looking at the infrastructure. You can't prioritize something in my garage. My garage is my garage. I decide how I run activities in my garage. We then called a meeting that puts together all these departments affected. Then we said they must go and resolve the matter. It is the outcome of our effort, honorable members. I just want to thank you very much for that. It's something that will be in our legacy report, which we have achieved, that now ECD has a home, which is education, is our effort. But we thank you because in the absence of any department to look at the capital project of ECD, you stood up and built with the little money that you have. We really appreciate that. I thought I should say that. The report, the one that you said you could furnish them, I suggest that you give us, it may not be a detailed report as this one, but we would want to know what is happening in our province. Maybe you can indicate areas of youth and also women, which I also appreciate very much. Not that we don't like our men, we do like them, but women. Women have been deprived for a long time. It is also pinning to note that you don't achieve all your mandates, whether it's primary or secondary, because you are not getting money. I was asking myself, the operation money that they give you to do what? If you are not given the money for what you're supposed to do. I had also the issue of the 100% where you did not perform, but it was touched by other members. Okay, I've also covered the issue of the ECDs, which we are hoping that it will be given a full priority in the Department of Education. But I will then ask the department to come in face of the issues that are affecting them before you come in. Why there is no increase in terms of the money that you are giving the entity? But you expect
another department to. Thank you, Chairperson, and the honourable members for the question and NDA. The question that you asked last, you see, we don't have a control. You will remember that earlier, the way the NDA focuses on. Was very little bit difficult for Treasury. Remember, Treasury requested us sometimes back, I think it's 3 years back, to evaluate the NDA as a department because they had an ultra motive in terms of what they wanted. We did our own evaluation, found that there's a need for NDA in the country. Since the arrival of the CEO and the change of direction, I should mention that we met with Treasury, and we some sort of when the CEO was presenting and with the support of the department, just like an education to Treasury in terms of is this the NDA, is this what they're supposed to do, which becomes very difficult in terms of how they understood, because when we then have a meeting with Mark Blacher from Treasury looking at that, and we were looking at the CEO's presentation and what we mentioned, and also some of the aspects of the review that we have done, that we need a development agency in the country, and it must be taken higher than what it's supposed to be. The indication we get from Treasury, they accepted. Actually, after the CEO has presented what he's supposed to do, and they become clear what it is and what he's supposed to do, despite that it's an act. So we're waiting for Treasury, because we need some representation on their allocation. They mentioned that they will come back to us before the next election to tell us what it needs to be. They have grouped most of the areas in terms of poverty, but the approach that now they hear what NDA is totally different and lucrative in terms of what it's supposed to do. And it transpires. If you look at what the president requested recently, and the action of the department in terms of CSO's management, CSO's coordination, the department, they wanted DSD to do. We said, no, we are not for CSO. NDO does. And they realized, and thanks to Treasury was requested to be on board, and they realized there is a need for NDA to exist in the format in which it is supposed to do in terms of the mandate. So we hope that our presentations and the events that have taken place will tap on the personality aspect of Treasury, not objective nature of the personality aspect, so that they become objective and they look at SNDA as development agency. We are also very impressed in terms of the NDA. You can see the report, the approach, changes, and point in the direction in which is exactly what is supposed to happen if we have to tackle issues of poverty. We have done a lot of presentations even to a committee at the president in terms of that in the absence of NDA, we are going to have a serious problem, as we have got a problem to control CSO currently in the country, even NGO themselves. And it's acknowledged that there's a need for this in the way that is coming up. And we hope that all the preachings and the meeting that we had with the structures that we met, it will bear fruit. There was another question that you raised, Chairperson, on the appointment of the board. There were little bit of issues. We advertised the board in December, and I'm sure people went on holiday and didn't look at the newspapers. Then it closes on the 8th of January. And then the shortlisting was done, planning for the appointment of the board on the 31st, in the cabinet that set on the 31st of January. But due to some other issues that were administrative issues, we delayed a little bit, and I think that is finalized. The process is on board. We hope that will be finalized very soon. We were aware, currently the acting DG is acting as a board for the NDA in the meantime. That is contained within the PFM section, I think 49 or 149, that in the absence of the board, you could appoint the Director General to be. But we hope that soon we will be able to appoint the board of NDA. I think those are the two areas that we will need to. We are working closely with NDA, but I should say, going forth, I think looking at the prospect of the country and the scourge of poverty, and how the country don't have one strategy to deal with poverty. As the CEO has mentioned, we also want the committee to add the voice in terms of where the future, because a no-miss approach is when you use any instrument that you have to tackle poverty at all the angles. not to locate it to one. Earlier there was an issue about Treasury says, no, you can't reduce poverty to 200. But we said we want more because it is targeted and is dealing with where the scale of poverty is, where the poverty is increasing at that level. So we hope that, I think, with your support, like I've done in ECD, I don't know with the time remaining, so we could also get the best. But I think it needs all of us to realize how bit and bit pieces. We had a forum at the presidency. We presented this, I think it was November. We were questioning where is the world poverty strategy implemented by who and why. And it came very clear that there's nothing, and if we add issues of or poverty elevation in terms of what is placed. The mind that created the NDA, they were very noble in terms of looking at what is supposed to be done. What is left is government to look at it and support the initiatives, and also support in terms of giving it enough resources and linking with other government departments. Thank you.
Okay,
honourable
members, before they respond, I just want to check with you. Do we want all responses, or we can have some in writing, or we have them to summarize? I'm just looking at the number of questions that we asked.
Yes.
My issue is, Chair, that we get the responses in writing, but within a set time, and at least distributed to the being received by the committee, being administration, being circulated to the members.
CEO, you were supposed to respond now. So if I give you Friday, it's not a short notice. Even tomorrow. Okay, do we agree about Friday?
Yes. Yeah.
We're very nice, about to close our gym, so very generous. Can we agree that we get our responses the latest being Friday? Thank you very much. Are we at Aprimido November?
We are in a submission. I can see that the CFO is hiding.
To have a summit on the 26th of February, but we decided that as a committee, where NDA is that the summit, provincial summits need to, provincial dialogues need to be concluded first before we have a summit. The date for the summit hasn't set. The president wanted it as of yesterday. But when they see all these things that the only organization that can do and that do this is NDA, then they realize that really this part, and I think it has been put themselves, the CEO delegated, the the person who is doing that, they are the ones who are on the forefront with the DSD. So we need to conclude Mpumalanga, we need to conclude KwaZulu-Natal. They postpone it. They postpone them due to the quota. And then KwaZulu-Natal need to come. All must be concluded by March, end of March. So that after that, we will determine the day of the summit. But these are coordinated at the presidency, even if they don't have capacity in terms of knowing exactly how things are supposed to be run. And it constrained us a lot because they are really not taking us for instance. But one of the things that we find very, very good as something that they will remember is the role of NDA as part of the CSO. And then they are now realizing, yes, it's supposed to be. Then we put ourselves into the map in terms of dealing with that.
No, okay. I know by that time I had thought that it would be in March and members can be available to attend, but you still do invite us, even if we will be busy with our campaign, who will be effective until the 7th of May. So please do invite us, because if we are invited, that is where we can make input and the president will be there. If you could be, we don't want to speak in the president's things, but it's a good platform. So do invite us. It will depend whether members are available or not. They can attend. Having said that, thank you very much. We had a very good time with you. This could be our last meeting with you. We are approaching the end of our the